If you'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. This subject has been stirring around in my mind for some time. And if you listen to what I'm going to preach to you this morning, and you're thinking in the flesh, you'll think that what I'm preaching is a self-serving message. If you're in the flesh and thinking naturally, you say, well, he's just preaching a self-serving message. But if you know me, and if you are thinking in the Spirit, you will not think that. You'll think, well, he's preaching the Word of God about what the responsibility of the ministry is. And in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, we're going to read three verses here in Hebrews 13. And I want you to notice the emphasis that he makes here in terms of what he wants them to keep in mind. And the title of this message is Soul Watchers. Soul Watchers. Notice I didn't say soul savers, but soul watchers. Because that's what the ministry is. That's one of the descriptions of the ministry. Let's read in Hebrews 13 and 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their lifestyle. Now skip over to verse 17. He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And that's where the title of the message comes from, Soul Watchers. Not soul savers, but soul watchers. They watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And then here's one that I had missed for years, verse 24. I didn't realize that there were three references in this chapter to the ministry. But look at verse 24. He says, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. So three different times in the conclusion that the Apostle Paul writes here to the Hebrews, he makes three references to the ministry. Now, if that bothers you, when I read that, the way he describes the ministry, it doesn't sit well with me. But unless I look into what it means, it doesn't carry how I feel or my experience, where he says, remember them which have the rule over you. You know, that sounds kind of harsh, the rule over you. It's a totally different type of rule when you put it in context of what the ministry is all about as a soul watcher. Okay, now listen to this, and you don't have to turn there because this is several sites, but I want to give you several descriptions in the Word of God other than here that talks about the ministry and what the role of the ministry is. And don't ever forget, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, tells us that the ministry is the trophy, if you will, the trophy that the Lord gave to the church in the New Testament as he ascended back to heaven. It was the trophy. As a king would come in triumphant from a battle and toss out gifts to the people. That's the image that is given there. As he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. The successful king has defeated the enemy. He's parading back into where his throne is and he's tossing out gifts. In the Old Testament, the Old Testament kings would toss out money, food, different things. But our Lord and Savior tossed out the ministry. And some of you may say, well, that was weird. I mean, I would have tossed out world peace if it had been me. I would have tossed out the closure of all of the Baal clinics, of all the abortion clinics that take out the lives of babies. I would have tossed out, no telling what, I would have tossed out money to every one of y'all. And your bank account would have been full for the rest of your life. That's what Tim would have done. But Tim is not God. God gave the ministry. And he said, that's sufficient. Now, that doesn't mean that the ministry is perfect or doesn't make any errors. It just means that's God's gift to the New Testament church. The Old Testament had the priests, the Levitical priesthood, and they had prophets. The New Testament has the ministry. Now listen to these descriptions. 1 Corinthians 4 says that we are ministers. And the definition of the word minister right there is an under rower. It means to be a subordinate rower, an under oarsman. If you know anything about history, maybe you've seen Ben-Hur, the movie with Charlton Heston. You know, when Charlton Heston was a slave and he was in the bottom of the ship, he was an under rower. And the under rower is at the bottom of the ship, the most basic level, moving the ship along. And you can imagine the sweat and filth and everything that's above comes down to the under rower, the subordinate rower, the filthiest level on a ship back in those days. It's also described in that same verse, 1 Corinthians 4 and 1, as a steward, that we are stewards. And that literally means a house distributor. It doesn't mean that the minister owns the house. You know, we often say, well, this is my church. Or you say, this is my church. And I get that. There is a sense in which you should take ownership of the church of God and feel that. You know, and you might say, well, that's Brother Tim's church. It's not Brother Tim's church. Brother Tim is just a house distributor in the house of God. The master of the house is the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Matthew 20 and 27 gives another description of a servant, that the ministry is to be a servant. And that means a slave or a bondman. Matthew 23 and 11 and 12 gives another definition of a servant. It means the servant of a king, that the ministry is to be a servant in the sense that they serve the king. Now, I might also add, when it comes to you, the Lord says that you are kings and priests of God. And the ministry as under rowers, and the ministry as servants, as bondmen, are supposed to be the servants of the people of God, the kings and priests of God. 1 Corinthians 9 and 9, you'll like this one. The Apostle Paul describes the ministry as an ox. He says, muzzle not the ox that treadeth out the corn. The ministry is compared to an ox. In 2 Timothy 2 and 3, he says to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's a description of the ministry. I like this definition. Soldier means a camper out, one who camps out, like a foot soldier, a common soldier. That's how the ministry is described. 1 Peter 5 and 1 has multiple descriptions of the ministry. Now, if anybody got the ministry, you know it had to be Peter, because he's the one that denied Jesus and then turns around on the day of Pentecost and is preaching, and 3,000 are converted, come to see the truth on the day of Pentecost. And in 1 Peter 5 and 1 down through verse 3 or 4, he says to feed the flock of God. So the ministry is a flock feeder. That might make you think about the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, to Peter. It's a flock feeder, to tend as a shepherd. That's what that means. Now, we understand that Christ, and Peter says that, Christ is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He is the master shepherd. He is the great shepherd. And he has these little under shepherds to feed the flock of God. He also says to take the oversight. That's where our friends in the denominational world that are known as Episcopal, that's the word episcopeo, to take oversight. That's where they get that word from. And it means to look upon. It means to inspect, to look into the lives of God's people as an overseer, not as a master over someone, but just to inspect. And he goes on and he says that they're to be an ensample, being in samples to the flock of God. And that means a print, a figure, a fashion, a manner, a form, or a pattern. So the ministry is to be a pattern, to be a form that is worthy of being followed. By the way, that was 9 descriptions. And that's not all of them. That's the only ones I had time to put in front of you this morning. That's 9 descriptions of the ministry. And each one of those would be worthy of a message to see the different aspects of what the ministry is. Our focus today is the ministry as a soul watcher. Hebrews 13 and 7, he says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Consider the ministry that is in front of you and that interacts with you. And that's not just talking about me. It's talking about Brother Luke. It's talking about other ministers that come and go. Consider them. And that means to exercise your memory, recollect or rehearse, to be mindful of, to think of and feel for a person or a thing, to hold in memory. And as I said a minute ago, that phrase where it says rule over you, as you can see, it's not in the way that you would think about a ruler today, a dictator today. No, it's a servant. The way that the ministry is called upon to rule is by being servants to the people of God. I want to tell you one of the reasons that this is on my mind. We've been traveling a lot for the last couple weeks. And a couple weeks ago, we were blessed to be in service for Friday and Saturday at Bethel Church in Nashville. And on Saturday morning, we were blessed to participate in the ordination of Tim Lawrence to the office of elder, the office of a preacher. And that is Elder Ronald Lawrence's son. Brother David Crawford gave the charge in that ordination. And it really stuck with me what he said. When he got up there and he began to speak, he looked at Tim and he said, welcome to the society of servants. So that's what the ministry is. It's a society of servants. You know, Peter said, not as being lords over God's heritage, but being servants to God's heritage. So these things have been on my mind in terms of, number one, I want you to see how we as ministers view the church of God. And I want you to understand what it means and what you should expect out of the ministry as a soldier, as a camper out, as a foot soldier, as a servant to the people of God. Now, I've joked and said before, you know, this doesn't mean that you call the preacher over to come and cut your grass. Now, if you're in a bind and cutting your grass is life or death, I dare say that it's probably not. But I'm not saying I wouldn't cut your grass. But the purpose of the ministry is not to come and cut your grass. The purpose of the ministry is to serve the Word of God to you. And if Brother Luke or myself ever stop serving the Word of God to you, if we don't have a scriptural basis to say, well, this ought to be done or that ought to be done or this is recommended, then that's something that needs to be looked into. But if there is a chapter and verse and a precedent and some example there in the Word of God, and that's what we're preaching and teaching, then that's the type of ministry of service that God expects the ministry to do. Now listen to me very carefully. I think the first qualification of a minister given in 1 Timothy, the third chapter, it says, if any man desire the office of a bishop, the office of a minister. You know, where does that desire come from? I didn't just jump up one day and say, well, I think I want to be a minister. God called me to this. As a matter of fact, my life was in a very different direction when God called me and turned me around on the mad race of sin that I was in. I didn't ask for this. I didn't go looking for it. And when you come across someone that is asking for it and going looking for it, you ought to be very careful. Because ministry is not a job application. It's not a career path. I have a career path, but the ministry is a calling. If any man desire the office of a bishop. And if y'all want to call me bishop, that's fine. I'm just kidding. You don't have to call me bishop. Brother Luke might want you to call him bishop. Who knows? But I remember when Brother Luke and Brother Neil were both kind of here around the same time. And I talked to Brother Neil about it first. Because I could just tell. I could tell that there was something going on inside Brother Neil that he wanted to share the Word of God. There was just a deeper conversation there. There was a deeper interest there. And there was a burden there. I could see that burden behind his eyes. And I remember talking to him about it. And he was stunned. Stunned when I talked to him about it. Because he'd only been talking to his wife about it. By the way, same thing happened to me and Sister Tracy when the Lord recalled me. Same thing with Brother Luke. I could tell that there was a fire down in his bones that he wanted to share the Word of God. You know, if a man comes around and he's got a fire down in his bones to rule over the people of God and tell them what to do, you better watch out for that man. But Brother Luke had a fire in his bones to share the Word of God, just speak the Word of God. And we talked about that and, you know, as they say, the rest is history. See, the ministry is a calling. There's not another type of calling like that in the Word of God. The Lord puts the burden on the heart of the man of God, and he has a desire to serve. You want to be careful when someone says, well, this is a career path for me. That's not what the Word of God teaches. It's not a career path. Now, don't think this either. Brother Neil, Brother Luke, myself. You know, the Lord didn't grab us by the nape of the neck or the hair of the head and we go kicking and screaming. I love preaching the Word of God. Brother Luke loves preaching the Word of God. I live for that. That's one of the reasons I think after 25 years, sometimes it's hard to figure out what to preach because there's so much. And I think I'm 52. Isn't that right, Sister Tracy? Aren't we? I'm 52. Yeah. Okay. Well, you're 53. I'm fixing to be 52. Sorry, I just blew it, guys. Nobody's going to remember anything but that right there. God, I can't believe I said that. Y'all try this sometime. But I'm 52 years old and I'm running out of time. Y'all, you said, Brother Tim, you got the rest of your life. Well, you know, if the rest of my life goes like the normal lifespan, I've only got about, I'm not good at math, but I only got about 18 years left to age 70. If that's how long I live, I might not live that long. I got about 18 years left. Maybe 28, maybe. I might exceed that, who knows? I feel like I'm running out of time. If I tried to preach everything to y'all that was on my heart and on my mind, we'd probably have four services a week and I still wouldn't get to all of it. And some of y'all are terrified to think I might suggest that. So, not as being lords over God's heritage. The purpose of the ministry is not to lord over God's heritage, but to be an example to God's heritage. The word in 1 Peter 5 is the Greek word tupos, which means a die or a cast, something that is cast as a die, a model for imitation, an example to be imitated. It means that the ministry should be something that is worthy of imitation. It doesn't mean, well, I look at Brother Tim, I'll go to law school and I'll be a lawyer, or I'll follow his career path. I'll look at Brother Luke and I'll go, you know, to dental school. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the manner of life of that person. If a man of God wants to be a soul watcher, the first soul he has to watch out for is his own. But to be men worthy of imitation, I'm going to tell you what, I'm embarrassing him here today, but Brother Luke is a man worthy of imitation. You know, he's successful in the work that he does. He's successful in the ministry that he does, you know, with his family, with his wife. But look at the horrible examples that are out there in the world. When you see what's coming out of Hollywood, you see what's coming out of the sports world, and everybody looks at that and goes, wow, I want to be like them. I don't. I want to be like the men of God that I know that are following the Lord. To mimic or to follow, whose faith follow, is what it says back in Hebrews. Remember them which have the rule over you, which serve you the word of God, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Consider the ministers. Consider what they do. I'm not talking about get down in their life and meddle with their life. That's not what that's teaching. You don't want me as a minister meddling in your life, but you want to know that as a minister, as a soldier of the cross, that I'm here for you and to serve the word of God, to equip you to fight this fight that we're in. And if you're sitting there going, what fight? We need to talk. It's a daily fight. Now the next verse in verse 17, which is our focus, and forgive me, I spent a little too much time on that first part, but obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. The word obey right there does not mean, it's not a strict, legalistic, dictatorial type thing. It means to be persuaded. Be persuaded. If you're making a decision in life, and you go to five people, you know, maybe a couple of those are ministers. And, you know, the two ministers that you go to quote to you a verse of scripture in your decision making and say, well, what about, have you thought about this? And then the other three say, well, just do what you feel is good for you. Or just do how you feel like you ought to do it. Let me tell you, that you ought to be persuaded that the ones that are quoting the word of God to you are in the right direction. Now, if you go to five people and two are ministers, and five out of those five say, you know, you shouldn't do this. Woe unto you if you do. See, you're going to reap what you sow, and it's going to be rough. The Word of God says he will not be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So he says that you are to be persuaded that if we're telling you what the Word of God says, you ought to follow that Word of God. But if I'm just telling you my opinion or what I think or whatever, you can take it or leave it. But if I say Proverbs chapter such and such and verse such and such says this in relation, in the context of your question or your issue or your choice, then you ought to listen. You ought to be persuaded. Because it's not just our opinion. I think we're living in a day and time when the ministry in general, the mindset of the ministry is more sort of a joke. And I'm not just talking about here. I don't mean that. I'm just saying in general. When you think about TV preachers and you think about the big brand names that are going on out there, men are creating brands of themselves. And I can name names and you would know exactly who I'm talking about. Out in the denominational world, out in the TV world, men are making names for themselves and they're creating brands. See, that's not what the ministry is all about. It's not something to create a brand. The brand that we want to create has already been created, and it has been stamped upon your heart, and is the salvation that he's given you in your heart. It's already there. The brand is already there. He's written his law in your heart, and we're just here to talk about that. If nobody ever remembered who I was 50 or 100 years from now, so what? It doesn't matter. I'm not here to create a brand. I'm not here to create a one-generation church. See, the ministry, in a sense, is designed to be forgotten, the individual. But Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, will never be forgotten. See, because the generations and the gifts of the ministry just carry that on, the soul watchers. Now, the reason I say think about the modern idea of the ministry, you know, the TV preachers and all of this stuff that goes on, you know, the prosperity gospel, that is the other end of the spectrum from what the Word of God teaches here about soul watchers. To be a soul watcher, the word watch right there means to be sleepless, to be ready. The purpose of the soul watcher is to help the child of God reach the highest possible experience of the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. The Lord's already taken care of saving your soul.
But there's a lot of pitfalls and problems that we can fall into here in this life. And that's where the soul watcher comes in. Think about that.
I have to bring, and Brother Luke does too, we have to bring our A game to every situation that comes to us. You realize that? Maybe it's a big situation and it's horrible. Or maybe it's just a small, little innocuous, you know, little tripping over a nail kind of situation. We have to bring our A game. We can't sleep on that. We can't say, oh, well, this is not that big of an issue. Little issues turn into huge issues. And there's many times in the past, over the last 25 years, that I have thought, oh, there's nothing to that. And then the next thing you know, it's blowing up in my face. And I think to myself, I wish I had not treated that as a minor issue. And I'm not saying make a major issue out of everything. I don't mean that. I'm just saying when it comes to an issue and you bring an issue to the ministry is supposed to bring their A game, their primary game to you. And it's not a game. I don't mean that. But what I'm saying is be ready to be watchful, to not be asleep when those things come. See? Because we're watching over the souls of men and women and children in this life. Soul watchers. I, as a under shepherd, under the great shepherd, and as a soul watcher, I want you, as your soul watcher, I want you to attain the highest end possible in this life. Whatever the best you can possibly be before the Lord, that's what I would like to see for the child of God. And you say, well, Brother Tim, if you're younger, you may say, well, what career path do I need to choose? Well, it's certainly not bank robbery. That's not a good career path. You can't honor God doing that. You know, it's not being a drug dealer. I don't know the exact career path that you should choose. The Word of God does not say, choose this career path. But I can tell you from the Word of God, as a soul watcher, the way you must conduct yourself in whatever career path you choose, to be godly and to honor the Lord, to tell the truth, to be fair and equitable in your business dealings. I can tell you those things. We can talk about, well, do you like math more? Do you like English more? Do you like to write or do you like to read or do you like to do math? I mean, we can figure out what your aptitudes are and help you in that direction. But when it comes to the career path, that's not on me. But how you conduct yourself in that career path is definitely something that God expects the soul watchers to do. I want you to reach the highest possible end of experience that you could reach in this life. You say, well, where do I begin? Well, if you go back to what I just taught here, what I'm just teaching from the Word of God, he says, remember those which have the rule over you, which have spoken the Word of God, and follow their faith. So I thought we're supposed to only follow Jesus. If the ministry is following the Lord, it's okay to follow the ministry. If the ministry deviates from the Lord and goes astray, no, by all means, don't follow. But if the ministry is following the Lord, then follow the ministry. You say, well, how does that play out? Well, it can play out in a lot of different ways. I mean, just take church, for example. Take the experience of worshiping God, all right? If Brother Luke or I just decided on a particular Sunday, well, you know, I just don't feel like going to church today. Matter of fact, I've felt that way many times. I know Brother Luke has too. We've talked about it. A lot of times I feel that way when I'm like, I don't know exactly what I need to preach on. Maybe I just won't go. Do you want to follow us in that? If we just say, well, I just don't feel like it today. You know, get a headache on Monday and say, well, I don't think I'm making church on Sunday. Your headache might get better. See, that's a simple way that you can follow the faith of the ministry. I'm not just talking about Brother Luke and myself. Whoever comes after us, whoever comes after me, whoever you're dealing with, you know, follow the faith of the ministry if they're following the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can, look over to the book of Ezekiel very quickly. In the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, a lot of warnings went on about the ministry. Of course, you understand in the Old Testament, it was the priests and the prophet. In the New Testament, it's the ministry, it's the elders, it's the bishops, it's the pastor, teacher. But over in the book of Ezekiel, the third chapter, I want you to look at verse 17. And I'm telling you, when I first began to minister, these verses really stuck with me because I saw what the Lord was upset about when it came to the ministry in the Old Testament. Now look at this, Ezekiel 3 and 17. He says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman." And he's speaking to Ezekiel, the prophet. "I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. The word watchman right there means to lean forward, to peer into the distance, to observe, and to spy out. So if you want to get the real image of the context of the history here, the watchman was the one that sat on the wall of the city. They had walls around the city back in those days for protection, for defense. The watchman would stand on the walls of the city and they would look off in the distance to see if they saw smoke or, you know, banners flying or enemy coming. That's what the watchman did. The watchman was to observe what was going on. And notice that the Lord says to Ezekiel, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Give the house of Israel warning from God. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. The Lord says to this wicked person who's doing wickedly, you're going to die. And you do not warn him. Whenever you see in your watchman capacity, this person is going in a direction that is going to lead to their destruction. He says, if you do not warn them, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. Remember, we're not talking about eternity here. Okay, right? We're talking about a timely deliverance. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Did y'all catch that? The watchman would be responsible for the death of the wicked man who went in a wicked direction if the watchman did not warn that wicked man. You need to stop what you're doing. You're headed for total destruction. The Lord said he would look to the watchman. That's a lot of responsibility, isn't it? That's a lot on the watchman. Now notice what he says. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. If you discharge your duty as a watchman and say, hold on now, watch out, this is a bad direction that you're going, then you, if you warn that person, then the Lord says, you're clear, you're clear. That's a lot of responsibility right there on the watchman, isn't it? Now, he's not talking about the man who stands on the wall, physically on the wall and looks. He's talking about the ministry in the Old Testament there. The prophets and the priests warn the people of God. Look over at Ezekiel 34. This is even more disturbing than that. And by the way, as you're turning to Ezekiel 34, our brothers and sisters out in the denominational world often use those verses to say, well, this is how we got to save people from going to hell. That's not what that's teaching. The context is teaching a natural, timely deliverance where somebody's going in a direction that's going to bring total destruction. That's the context of it. That's why we're called soul watchers, not soul savers. Ezekiel 34, let's begin reading verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. What is the purpose of the ministry? One of the purposes of the ministry, primary purpose of the ministry in the New Testament, is to feed the flock of God, right? Watch what he says here in verse 4. This is what I want to get. The diseased have ye not strengthened. Now you picture a shepherd over the sheep, and there's a diseased sheep, you know, limping around or not eating like the rest of the sheep. And what does he do? He doesn't strengthen that sheep. He just lets him go. You know, not my flock. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. The shepherds would not heal the sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. See, that's not the type of ministry that God approves of. They would not strengthen the sick, the disease. They would not heal the sick. They would not bind up that which was broken. They would not bring again that which was driven away. And they would not seek that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty, they ruled over the flock. I remember years ago when Bethlehem first called me to be the pastor. I spent a lot of time in those verses right there. We were a pretty small flock at that time. You know, I've said before, you know, there was like 8.5 of us because Sister Madison was only just a little babe. There was only about 8.5 of us. And I looked at this verse and I thought, you know,
Where are the diseased that I can strengthen? And where are the sick that I can help to heal? Where are those that are broken that I can help bind up? Where are those that have been driven away that can be brought again? Where are those that have been lost their way, and I can lead them back to where their home is? That's the purpose of soul watching, you see? To watch for the souls of God's people is not brand building. It's not, oh, look at him. Look at the brand that he's building. Look at the type of example he sets for himself. See, it's setting the example of Christ to the people of God. And to watch for the souls of God's people. Now, that's a fine line right there, if you think about it. Because the last thing that I want to do, or Brother Luke, or other ministry wants to do, if they're thinking right, they don't want to meddle. You know, they don't want to be all up in your business and telling you what's what. That's not the ministry. The ministry is like a camper out, like a soldier, like a foot soldier who's camping out, just being there and being ready and being available. See, when the problem arises, when the sickness comes, when the devastating news hits you, the soul watcher should be there to watch for your soul. See? Notice back in the book of Hebrews in verse 17. He says, "For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." The ministry gives account to the Lord about how the flock is doing. He gives account for himself too. I fear sometimes my report to the Lord is worse than anybody's. Lord, help me. I need your help. I need guidance. I need wisdom. I need to know what to preach on. I need to know what to share. I got to bring my A game. Somebody's got an issue. Lord, help me to report to God on the condition of how the flock is doing. You think about that. I have a prayer list in my phone. I used to have it written down. And every single person in this room, unless you're a visitor for the first time, and I don't think I see any first-time visitors, but every single person in this room is on that prayer list. And I regularly go over that list, and I pour over that list, and I pray over that list, and I go down through that list. Every single person on that list, as a soul watcher, I go and I pray for that individual person. Lord, what about this? What about that? I don't know what this person's needs are. I know what this person's needs are. I pray for them. And notice how he says that the soul watcher is to give account, that they may do it with joy. Wouldn't it be better that when the soul watchers look at the flock of God, look at the people of God, isn't it better for the soul watchers to go, "Praise God. You know, this person came through this fire. This person dealt with this in a godly way. This person is seeking the Lord and trying to be a soldier for the cross." Wouldn't it be better to have that kind of a report than the ministry looking at that particular individual and going, "Oh my goodness, Lord help." And just the heart sink over the condition of that sheep. Hey, remember, we don't have to worry about the salvation of that sheep, right? But in terms of this life, the ministry's focus should be to watch over the soul of that sheep, of that bride, of that wife of another man. You see? That sheep belongs to Jesus Christ. "For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. It is unprofitable for the sheep of God, for the soul watchers, the ministry, to say, "Oh my goodness, you know, I can't believe they did that. Can't believe they said that. Can't believe they got themselves in this situation." You know, it doesn't mean that the ministry quits praying by any means. But wouldn't it be better? You know, Paul says, not wouldn't it be better? It is better that the account of the sheep, the account that comes before the Lord in prayer by the ministry, should be given with joy and not with grief. Grief is just a sigh right there. That's what the basic definition of the word means. To just go, oh.
Nobody wants that kind of a report, right? I'm going to tell you, child of God, every single person in this room, and there's some that aren't in this room right now that are on that prayer list, and I'll add anybody that you think we ought to add to that prayer list. But I'm going to tell you what, there's been many, many nights that I've found maybe 30 minutes of sleep, 45 minutes of sleep, over thinking about the condition of that child of God. I'm going to tell you, I'm not telling you that, oh, poor Brother Tim. That's not it at all. I'm telling you that is what you ought to expect out of the ministry. That they would pour over the lives of the people of God, the sheep of God, love them, care about them, pray for them, and not stand as dictators and lords over God's heritage, but to be there to serve God's people, you see? By prayer, by ministry of the word, by preach. Listen, I've said this many times. What I'm doing right now, I get nervous about it. Been doing this for 25 years. I get nervous. I break out in a cold sweat and make sure, Lord, bless me. I hope this is okay. I hope what I'm saying is going to be of you. I hope the Spirit blesses, because the Spirit doesn't bless, it's nothing. It's vain. But I'm telling you, this right here, preaching from Sunday to Sunday or Wednesday to Wednesday, that's just icing on the cake. That's the easy part. Y'all know me. I love to talk. I talk for a living. I'm sure my family's tired of hearing me talk. But I talk as an attorney. I talk as a pastor. Sometimes I get tired of myself talking. And you're probably sitting there saying, yeah, I wish you'd hush. I hope you don't think that way. But it's a lot of talking that goes on there. We talk about the Word of God. We talk about the things that God's people, that they need. That's what God expects the ministry to do. To labor and care about the people of God and not stand as a dictator or a lord over God's heritage. This day and time, the ministry is just kind of sort of like a joke out in the religious world. It's more of a brand building kind of thing. All right, as we close our thoughts here today, verse 24 says, salute all them that have the rule over you. That's verse 24 of chapter 13. The word salute right there means to draw to one's self. To greet or to bid welcome or to wish well to receive joyfully. Think about how you as a sheep in the pasture of God, as the bride of Christ, think about how you should view the ministry. To draw them to yourself, to make them your own. You know, I've said many times before that one of the essential characters in your life, whatever age you may be, one of the essential characters in your life as a child of God should be a minister. You should have that in your life. You say, well, I just really don't have anybody that I can identify with. Christ can identify with you, and God has put the gifts of the ministry in your path, in your life. That is an essential character, an essential person in your life for help in this life. That's what God designed. You say, well, I can do it on my own. It's just not going to work out well. Several years ago when I was holding down the role of being the team chaplain for the football team over there in Gordo, there was one particular day that 5 or 6 years ago, I was going down there to talk with the boys or meet with them or something, you know, and down at the field house. And one of the boys, it was not Asher, okay? It was not Asher. But one of the boys, you know, stuck their head out the door. There's no windows in the field house. And they stuck their head out the door and they looked. And I saw them and I was walking about 50 feet away, and he had this look of surprise, and he closed the door, and I could hear him the other side of the door, y'all straighten up, the preacher's coming. And of course, that made me feel like a freak, you know, because all the boys got straightened up and looking nice in there, you know, and put their phones down, you know, and turned off stuff they shouldn't be looking at. And I was thinking, and the coach and I were laughing about that. He's like, man, they straighten up when you come around. And I get that. You know, when we're around God's people, each other, you know, we should straighten up. You know, when the ministry comes around, yeah, you want to be on your best behavior. But don't ever forget that the ministry is not just given for best behavior. The ministry is given to deal with the filth of this life. God knew that you were going to need something. He knew that you were going to need help. And maybe you're sitting there wishing, well, I wish he'd filled my bank account so I'd always be able to pay my bills. That would be nice. But that's not what God gave. And God is all wise and all knowing, and he knew what to give, and he gave you the gift of the ministry. And I feel that burden. I know Brother Luke does too. I know the other brothers that I know personally who share the burden of the ministry and ministering to God's people. So, as a member of the Society of Servants, as a member of the Society of Servants. I am committed to help you row through the filth of this life as an under rower. Whatever you got to throw at me, whatever comes to me, I've joked before and said, you know, the preacher's in some ways like is like a trash man, you know, a garbage man. Just put your garbage on the preacher. I'm joking about that kind of, but at the same time, it's a real thing. We have to deal with a lot of garbage in this life, don't we? If you don't have the ministry in your life to help you deal with the garbage, then maybe you ought to reassess. I'm a servant, enslaved, voluntarily, happily enslaved to God's kingdom in this role. I am a servant of the King. I'm also a servant to kings and priests of God, and I'm looking at them here this morning. I'm a soldier. God calls me to be a soldier. I may not be a very good one, but I'm camping out for you. My fire's always burning. I've always got my A game. Whatever the needs are, I'm going to do my best to bring my A game. God's called me to be a flock feeder, to feed the flock of God. And I want to, as a soul watcher, I want to be there for you and inspect your life as much as you will let me. You might have an issue in your life where you say, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to handle this. My commitment as a soul watcher is to help you in that matter, not to be a lord over you and say, well, you know, you better do this. That's not the approach at all. The approach is, this is what the Word of God says about that issue. I want to be a print, a figure, a fashion, a pattern. I want to be a pattern that can be followed. I know I'm a sinner and I fail in that, but I want to be that. And I want to be your soul watcher, not your soul saver. But I want to watch for the souls of God's people, which belongs to our Savior while we're here in this life. I love you all. And I pray that God blesses you in every possible way in this life as you go through this life. And I pray that you can be the utmost, the best version of yourself, the most godly disciple of yourself in this life as you pass through this life. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank each and every one of you. I missed you last week. I missed preaching to you for the last 2 weeks. But I want to thank you for allowing me, for permitting me to be your soul watcher. I don't take that lightly.